HUR Voices, Washington.
And welcome back, everyone. I'm Alec Green, and for Harold Fisher on the Insight segment tonight, we're talking about D.C.'s Housing Expo and Home Show coming up this Saturday at 10 at the Convention Center. Polly Donaldson is the director of the Washington, D.C. Department of Housing and Community Development here with us to share why you should not miss this event. Let's set the scene here once again, Polly. Who should come?
Well, really, we have activities for the whole family, so we really encourage you to come on down, bring your children. We have activities for children, including youth financial literacy, which I had mentioned, and as well as we have opportunities for senior citizens to learn more about how they can age in place, stay in their homes, make sure it's safe and secure housing for them as well, maintaining their home ownership. We're also going to be a wide range of workshops. There are over 150 exhibitors. There'll be actually some special sessions on healthy living, including healthy cooking. We have Chef Kwame, who will be there from Top Chef, and we'll be doing some cooking demonstrations as well to sort of, you know, healthy living means having a safe and secure home, but also a healthy diet and healthy ways to take
lifestyle.
Care of your family. Lifestyle. Exactly.
Absolutely. 202-319-7810. That's the number to call. 202-319-7810. We also have a toll-free number as well, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Let me go to Derek. Welcome to the program. Calling in from the district, what's your question or comment about affordable housing?
Yes, first I want to thank Ms. Donaldson for her leadership over at the Housing Authority. But the sad reality is that this homeless issue has been going on in most of these urban cities. I'm 50. I've seen it for the past 40 years, and you have all these special interest groups, nonprofits, for-profits, and developers who talk about permanent housing for the low-income folks in these urban cities, and it's just one program after another program after another program. The time for housing, developing and housing in the district for low-income families long past when things were not bidded so far up as far as the cost of property in the district.
Derek,
as well as other urban cities.
Sum it all up. Do you have a question here or finish your comment for me?
It's just, the tragedy is that there's so many folks who, quote-unquote, stand for the interests of the homeless when they really don't.
Thank you, Derek. Polly?
Well, let me just say that one of the first things I was asked to do on coming into the government in 2015 from the nonprofit sector, from someone who had been on the front lines of trying to end homelessness here in the district, I will tell you that we have made some changes in how we are creating permanent housing to ensure that we really are targeting our affordable housing towards the most vulnerable. And we're following guidelines that are national best practices and that work. And permanent housing with supportive services for those who have those needs works. We know it works. And so we actually mandate that anyone who wants district funding to help with the production of new units, they must do a certain number of permanent supportive housing units as well. It's part of creating the housing stock that will be guaranteed for at least 40 years, if not longer.
Derek, thank you so much for your call tonight. 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Jonathan, calling in from Glen Burnie. What do you want to know? Programs for veterans?
Yeah, well, basically, not just for veterans. I'm a retired veteran myself, mm-hmm. and I'm from New Orleans where a lot of homelessness happened after Katrina.
Yeah.
And after transferring up here, one of the things that I wanted to do was volunteer to help people get off of the street because on my daily drive to work every day, I see homeless people all over the place.
Right.
Are you guys going to have programs there that will teach and give advice to not only people like myself that are veterans, but programs where we can get in on that will help us buy condominiums, apartment complexes, where we can house homeless people in Section 8 and get them off the street just by generally picking them up and saying, hey, if you qualify, you can get in here. We'll talk to people in the city and get them people off the street. Are there going to be programs like that that we can get into?
Thank you, Jonathan.
There are certainly programs like that for veterans, whether homeless or veteran services here in the district. We've actually gone a very long way towards helping to end veterans' homelessness. We are almost there. And in doing so, we've used a special voucher from the federal government called the VASH voucher, the Veterans Voucher. And we have used that to generate and leverage housing for veterans, especially homeless veterans as well. So that's one area where we have worked very closely with the Veterans Administration and with the veterans, the local Department of Veterans that has a service center on Rhode Island Avenue in Northeast. And that's one of the ways that we do that.
Jonathan, thank you so much. What's one of the most frustrating things for you? You've come from the nonprofit sector. You've been in this position for 3 years, right? 3 years. But there is still a lot of work that needs to be done to, untangle the red tape and to make things easier for people to transition from a vulnerable state to a more secure state. How frustrating.
Well, I have to say that actually it's been, there are occasional frustrations, but I have to say for the most part, this has really been an opportunity to take what we know works from best practices from around the country and implement them here under the leadership and vision of Mayor Bowser and from the team that she has selected to work on the homeless issue. One of the key parts is that the housing department and the human services agency, we are working much more closely together to ensure that we're coordinating our efforts, that we're coordinating our resources. It's a one-stop shop. You come to us, you can apply for development finance, you can apply for the to build the housing, you can apply for the services funding and the subsidy so that you can be sure to be serving the very lowest income folks. Yeah. We're doing this in a very coordinated way.
Okay, that's what I was thinking in my mind as I was formulating that question, because you got to educate the public, but you also have to have the agencies working in concert to make this something people can really get to.
Exactly. And you have to coordinate, but you also have to recognize that you've got to figure out ways to accelerate the process. So how have we done that at DHCD? We now, all of our applications for resources that developers file with us, everything's online. Everything's done electronically. It's done in a way so you don't have to have those huge notebooks of proposals. It's done. It's streamlined. It means we can review the proposals faster. We can get them closed faster and under construction faster. And that's because I have a great team at DHCD, a wonderful staff that really gets that the idea that we have to do more and that we need to do more, and especially as we were given more resources to make that happen, that $100 million for the trust fund. So we are showing the results, and we are showing that. But we have to do more. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I agree with you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Or toll free at 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Give us a call and your question or comment will be addressed. We're going to now go to Gail calling in from Maryland. Thank you for calling in. What do you want to know?
How you doing? I just need to know if is this program just for D.C. residents only?
No, absolutely. All are welcome to the expo, and some of the resources are just for district residents, but the fact is we're welcoming people into the district, and so I encourage you to come and find out what resources there are available.
For folks,
okay, and those that live in D.C. already, do they have to have a certain income?
There are some income requirements, and there are also some income restrictions because the programs are targeted. But they're across the income spectrum. It's for, the young single mom who's got several kids but is not necessarily at earning a lot but needs a home and needs a place to stay. There are working families, two-earner couples, that they want to raise their children in the district. They need some help. There are others who are doing workforce housing that really is looking at saying, how do we have our first responders? We want them to live in the community. How are we helping them do that? And we are, with some similar programs on home ownership that are for district employees like police and fire and teachers.
Thank you, Gail. Good
Thank
questions.
You.
And What do people need to bring with them? You know, when you come to these and you really want to get some stuff done, you need to know what to have.
Well, if you're interested in getting your credit report on or one-on-one credit counseling, probably it's a good idea to bring some information with you about your bank accounts, about, you know, what your but you don't have to bring verification. All of that will be done later. But it is good to have an idea of what, you know, what resources you have and what you have to do to gain more resources for home ownership. Let me tell you about the HPAP program, if I can, because in the past year, we've made some really significant changes. First, the maximum loan amount has increased from $50,000 to $80,000. A year, which in a high-cost market really makes that much of a difference for your down payment assistance. Also, closing costs, $4,000 of closing costs are included as well. That's a significant change. We've also added a second agency to help administer the program. So we have the Greater Washington Urban League and the D.C. Housing Finance Agency, both of them working. So we're looking to increase the volume, and we already are getting many more applications because we now have two agencies that can be processing applications and working with our community-based organizations on that.
202-319-7810, the number to call, 202-319-7810 or 855-288-4876. That's 855-288-4876. Let me go to Michelle. Michelle calling in from Northeast D.C. We have two Michelles holding, and you're the first one. What's your comment or question tonight?
My question is, I've been listening to you guys, and I have a housing choice voucher. I've been having it for 10 years, and so I'm interested in the home.
Uh-oh, Michelle. We lost you. We lost you, Michelle.
She's interested in home ownership.
Okay.
She said.
We're going to address your question, but if you need to call us back, do so, 202-319-7810. Go right ahead, Polly.
Well, there are some people who have been on Housing Choice vouchers who participate in the programs that the D.C. Housing Authority operates to help you make the change, make the shift, make the leap to becoming a homeowner. So part of it is helping with financial literacy and credit counseling and how to regularly be able to save some funds that will help you do that. So I recommend talking with the people there at the Housing Authority who work with you on your voucher.
All right. Thank you so much, Michelle. Call us back if you have more to ask. We have another Michelle calling in from the district. How can we help you?
Hi. My question was, is there a certain income requirement when you say low income? I was looking at some property, and the gentleman was explaining to me that low income for that individual housing bracket was $75,000. And my question is there other program or home association that if your income is only $35,000 or $45,000 affordable for a two-bedroom or three-bedroom home?
Thank you. That's a great question because it is a little there are different programs that have different limits and different kinds of restrictions, and some of them are part of the federal dollars that we have that support our housing programs, and some of them are our local. But we do 40% of our trust fund goes towards those making $35,000 or less. Those are apartments that are built for families and individuals making that amount or less. And frequently, it's very much less. But we also have another 40% of the trust fund goes towards that next category of folks who are making maybe $40,000 to $55,000 or $60,000.
Right.
And that's a lot of our middle class here in the district that we want to make sure can stay in the district.
Thank you very much, Michelle, for your question. Very good question. We've had some great callers calling in, and you still have time to join this conversation. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. We are taking your questions and comments and continuing our conversation as we get ready for the D.C. Housing Expo and Home Show coming up this Saturday. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone, to the Daily Drums Insight segment. We're pleased to have with us here the director of the D.C. Department of Housing and Community Development, Polly Donaldson, to answer all of your questions and to address your comments and to talk about the D.C. Housing Expo and Home Show Coming up, it's free. It's on Saturday. It starts at 10 at the Convention Center. You need to register ahead of time for some of those great workshops that they have planned. And, Polly, I do want to talk about a couple of things that you mentioned that we didn't really get into a little deeper. But first, for our listeners, the number to call, 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Aging in place planning. What does that mean? What's that all about for seniors?
Well, for our senior population, many of whom have lived here for their whole lives, and they want to stay in the district, but they need to make sure that their home is safe and secure and that they are able to stay there as they age. So if they need, for example, changes in the house to make it more accessible, for if they need a ramp to get into the house, if they're in a wheelchair, or if they need a chairlift to get up the stairs, or grab bars, even something as simple as that. There we have programs that we co-sponsor with the D.C. Office on Aging that help address that, called Safe at Home. We have our own single-family residential rehab program that really help when there are safety issues, like you need a new roof, or you've got issues with electrical or plumbing that you need addressed. And so you will be able to get information on those programs there. We'll have a special series of workshops for seniors in their own space so that they can feel free to ask questions and be part of really finding out what resources are there for them.
Yeah, I know that the resources are there. It's just difficult sometimes to get the right information and the right answers and the right person on the phone.
Well, we're going to have 100 staff members there from all of our various programs, and they're there all day to do exactly that,
okay.
Answer questions, provide the one-on-one counseling. We also have a network of 10 community-based organizations that will be there offering housing counseling and really helping individuals figure out what should you do next, because maybe it is that you need to move to a senior apartment complex or something of that sort, that versus staying in your home, but you need some help maybe making that decision, or your family needs some help. I encourage folks to come on down and have those conversations.
You have a section on called the home show section to give homeowners some tips on renovation and everything else, right?
Absolutely, and we'll have many vendors there who are contractors, who are home modeling specialists, who are those that do lending to help you fund your home remodeling. And it's really a home show. There are all sorts of gadgets and items. And I have to say, maybe I haven't mentioned this yet, there are a bunch of giveaways here at the
We love a giveaway,
prizes.
Don't we?
And there'll be raffle prizes and giveaways, because we really want to let people know that there are ways to, that there's a benefit to coming out and finding about your resources and such. This is all part of what we're doing all month, a month-long series of activities that we call June Housing Bloom. And the Bowser administration has celebrated, this is the second year we're celebrating that. And it's all sorts of things. It's celebrating ribbon cuttings and groundbreakings on new developments, but also culminating here in the expo.
The
mayor will be there, by the way. She's going to be walking around in the early afternoon, and will be there, and will also interact and speak. She loves the expo.
Well, I do want to make sure people sign up for those important sessions, financial literacy being one of the most important ones here, so that people can understand how all of this works and how to stay in their homes and keep their homes for years and years.
That's great. So all you need to do is go to our website, dhcd.dc.gov, and you'll be very easy to click right on the expo and register for the event. You can register on site on that day. That's not a problem either, but if to sign up, some of those workshops are filling up, so I do recommend that you go online and pre-register. That would be really helpful.
I think this is, for a lot of people who didn't even have the idea of home ownership presented to them as a young child or as a young adult. It's a scary process, and it's big, Polly, to be able to figure out what step one is to step 10 in all of this, especially if you're coming from a challenged, financially challenged background.
But there are ways to do it. And actually, we help you on the front end, right, as you come in inquiring and help you to get paperwork in order and help to get your credit and everything else in order. And then we help walk you through the actual financing process, which can seem very daunting. I remember when I first experienced that, that was something that, you know, you have to kind of grow into and really make sure you ask questions, but you need support and help in doing that. And that's what our agencies that help implement the program, the Home Purchase Assistance Program, that's what they help us do. And then you're at closing, and then you need to know how do you, and there are sessions on this as well, how do you maintain
your
home?
How do you maintain it?
How do you make sure that you keep your home? How do you make sure that you're doing what you need to do to protect you and your family and to keep your house safe and secure?
In a market like the district where, you know, we had the Obamas buy a home for, what, $5 million, if I'm not mistaken? $5 million, $5 to $8 million. What is affordable housing in the district? What does it look like? What's the cost? What is designated as an affordable home in the city? Can you kind of tell me what that really means?
It's whether you can there's an old rule of thumb. 1 week's pay for 1 month's rent, meaning if you are able to have about 30% of your income or one third or so of your income go towards your rent or your mortgage payment. That's the rule of thumb. Now, we're a high cost city, so many people are paying more than that, some up to 50%. For those who are more than half of their income is going for housing, that's too much. And that's why we have to be building more units that lower that rent payment and have set rents so that you know that you're going to be able to stay in your home and maintain your apartment and such.
What is the challenge in the city to try to maintain sort of a balance where you don't have just high cost living? How is the city working that out? Well, tell me a little bit without going into all of the deep stuff.
Let me talk about Shaw, okay? Where there's been some
great neighborhood,
great neighborhoods where we are today.
Yep.
And I will tell you that there are lots of new buildings that have been built. There are lots of existing affordable housing that we've been able to help preserve. And you've got to do both. You have to strike a balance. You do want to, you know, you want to be able to address market rate housing, having that, because that also often spurs the economic development.
Right.
And you see that in this neighborhood. But we also wanted to make sure that the Phyllis Wheatley YWCA, which has been there for over 100 years, that it would continue to be able to support the most vulnerable women who needed supportive housing. And we've just that's going to be one of the renovations that we'll be celebrating as part of June Housing Bloom. The Channing Phillips homes as well on 7th Street, right by the Metro. That's a great place to be. We doubled the amount of affordable housing there through the church partnership that put together the development and through some funding from the district to help make that happen. Why? Because you have to be intentional. You have to put the resources there, and you have to say this is not just going to change into a neighborhood for wealthy people only. We've got to preserve and preserve the existing affordable housing and build new to make sure that it is a neighborhood that reflects the diversity of D.C. and has inclusive prosperity.
I want to ask, I know we've been talking about all of these wonderful programs and opportunities to help folks achieve the American dream. But let's talk about what middle class folks who, you know, make a pretty good income, but they still feel, you know, priced out of the D.C. market. What's at the expo that can help them? What's out there for people like me? I grew up in D.C., born and raised in the city, but I live in the suburbs because I can't afford to live here.
Understand. I think that some of our efforts at promoting home ownership with some of our partner agencies like the D.C. Housing Finance Agency that has a broader range of incomes that are allowed under the program can help with that. I think there also will be opportunities to learn about some of the different neighborhoods in the district where there is still housing affordability. Some of it east of the river, but not all of it. It really depends on, you know, what you're looking for and how you can make that investment early and then be able to leverage that for future housing here in the district.
It's really quite amazing what has happened in the city, the transformation for better. And some people think it's not for the better, but to see the development, to see the little eateries in the neighborhoods, and to see people feeling like this is a walkable city, a bikeable city, and transitioning, as we have seen everywhere in these little neighborhoods, especially, you know, being a native Washingtonian, the transformation is really unbelievable.
Well, I've been here for 30 years. I came from Baltimore, where I was born and raised, but I have been here for 30 years now, and I have to say it is remarkable. I live in Ward 1, which has just changed so phenomenally from when I first moved here in the late 80s, and it's great. But I also know that we can never forget our most vulnerable.
Right.
We can never forget that we want this to be a diverse, inclusive city, and that's one of the reasons people want to come here and move here. But we have to be intentional about making sure that we're putting the resources in to make that happen.
Absolutely. And, of course, one of the things we're doing in the city and seeing happening is the D.C. Housing Expo and Home Show coming up this Saturday. It's free at the Convention Center. Starts at 10 o'clock. You should get there early.
People line up around the block is what I understand. So I've seen it myself. It's really great. But it's open all day. There's plenty of space. It's on the floor of the Convention Center. It really feels like a real convention because you've got the exhibitors and you've got music. You've got some there's food.
Mm-hmm.
There's all sorts of activities for the family. There'll be media there, radio, television will be there. It'll
Absolutely.
Be really great. And it's, again, for the whole family. There'll be a special section for youth to learn about financial literacy through some fun activities. So,
and I think that's a great starting point in our city to really get the kids in on learning about money.
Yeah.
Money management,
yes.
And how to grow your money and how to make your money work for you, living in your own home that you own.
Yes, I agree. That's the most important way, but also to be able to see what the possibilities are and to start young.
Absolutely. Let's get that website information out for folks, because we do need you to sign up, register for some of those very important workshops.
Exactly. You can go to our website, dhcd.dc.gov, and the expo is the first thing you'll see. So just click on that and it'll be very easy to register.
Take advantage. It's coming up this Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Convention Center. Folks, Polly Donaldson, thank you so very much. You have offered a wealth of information tonight, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you, Monette. Great to be here.
All right, I'm Malik Reen, in for Harold Fisher tonight for the Daily Drums Insight segment. We thank you for joining us, and we'll have you back here tomorrow, same time. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142,